Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
We start a new sermon series this morning, Retold: Ancient Stories of Jesus, Today's Lessons in Faith. So one of the things that Jesus was fond of doing, we see from our New Testament scriptures, is to teach by parable or by story. And so we want to look at those stories that we find that Christ our Lord himself told to his disciples. But we want to bring them forward into the 21st century to see, what do they mean for us? And sometimes that's easy. It's easy for us to figure out what the correlations are, because truthfully, some things really never change. But sometimes it can be a little bit more difficult, because Jesus was talking to people in the first century about first century things. And so what we want to do in the next few weeks is to bring some of those things forward and to help unfold those stories for us and what they mean for us today. What are the lessons that our Christ has? And so we'll begin this morning by looking at a parable in the Gospel of Luke. And as we prepare to hear a message from that scripture, I invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, we give thanks for your word, that it is both timeless and able to reach us right where we are. God, we give thanks that it continues to guide us, to lead us, to shape us. And God, we pray that our hearts and minds might be open to hear from your scripture again this morning. God, we pray that we might receive the message that you've crafted for us. I pray that these words would be your words. This a demonstration of your spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So have you ever hosted a party and had no one RSVP? It happens a lot these days. Even though we have Evites and snail mail, we still sometimes don't get RSVPs from people, especially if it's going to be a no. Now, what about this? This is even worse. Have you ever hosted a party or a gathering, had people RSVP yes, and then not show up? That never feels good. We prepare for people who then don't come. That's the very predicament that our character in this morning's parable finds himself in. A dinner party set, guests who have committed to come and then at the last minute have found better things to do. And so we see this unfold in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus is eating dinner at a Pharisee's house, and he has already reprimanded the guests for choosing seats of honor when they should have chosen the lower seats. And he's already told the host, you know what? You shouldn't invite your friends and people who can repay you to dinner. You should invite the poor and the lame and the blind and people who actually can't repay you, so that what you're giving is of yourself for nothing in return. And so they're all sitting around the table after Jesus has taught them these things. And one of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master." Here we have a host with a full table surrounded by empty chairs. All of his guests have said they cannot come, but they do send their regrets. You know, in my house, my husband and I are raising 3 children. Our oldest son just turned 10 last month. We have another son who is 8 and a daughter who is 3. And one of the things that Chris and I find to be important for us in our family is to gather around our dinner table. And so as often as we can, we gather with intention around our dinner table. We sit all 5 of us together for just a brief time in the day to reconnect and to be joined together once again. And we mean for this to be intentional, so we don't just throw the food down on the table and everybody sit down and start eating. We make our time together count. And so one of the things we do is we always ask the kids 3 questions. Each child gets the opportunity to answer these 3 questions. Because I don't know if you know, but sometimes it can be hard to get them talking. And I would imagine as we get closer to teenage years, that's going to get even harder. So we ask these 3 questions as a way to help get people moving in the conversation. The first question is, what was your favorite part of your day? So what's your favorite thing you did today? Something that made you happy, that brought you joy. The second is, what might have made you sad or angry today? Sometimes we get an answer for those, and sometimes it's nothing. Everything was fine today. And the third is, what is something new you have learned or something that you practiced that you already knew? And so each person gets the chance to answer these 3 questions. But dinner time is not only about getting through everybody's day. It's also about having fun together. And so we like to play games at our dinner table. And our children's favorite game currently is the ABC game. So this is where we pick a topic. Of recent, it's been Disney World and the Christmas tree. And everybody goes around through the alphabet saying one thing that relates to that topic. So if we were doing Disney World, we might say A, Ariel, because she's a Disney princess. And the next person does B and C and so on. And we giggle and laugh and we help one another when somebody gets Q or X. And it's a good time. We also allow this to be a time for our children to practice their own faith development and leadership. So they take turns saying the blessing. Here's what you all might not know. When you live in a house with a pastor, the pastor never says the prayer. I pray for lots of people as a group. It's their turn. This is an opportunity for them to practice their leadership skills too. And so they take turns leading us in the blessing. You see, it's an intentional time together, but what's really happening around our dinner table is we're cultivating relationship. Through this time together, the Holy Spirit is knitting us closer to one another, firming up the fabric of our family. Sharing meals together gives us the opportunity to build relationship. And this is true not just around my table at home. It's true anytime we sit down and really share a meal with other people, whether it's our coworkers or at a great Friendsgiving. Anytime we sit and share together in a mealtime, we have the opportunity to cultivate relationship with one another. And so I wonder what it might look like if we sat at God's table. I wonder what it might look like if we took our place at the meal which our Lord has offered to us. Because taking our place at God's table means entering into relationship with God. It means continuing in our relationship with God. To take our place at God's table, to fill our chair, is to say yes to the invitation that just came to us in Christmas Eve. This invitation to be in relationship with God, to know God, to have God lead us and guide us and comfort us. This is what it means to take our place at God's table. When we take our place at God's table, we are cultivating our relationship. It's not just for a single meal, but it's an ongoing invitation. In the United Methodist Church, we talk about cultivating our relationships with God by prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. By regular prayer and engaging with the Holy Spirit. By regular presence with our worshiping community and our faith community. By regular giving of our financial gifts to God through the church. By regular service, both in our local and our global community, helping those around us who are in need. And by witness, by living our entire lives as a witness to the love of Jesus Christ. When we take our place at God's table, we get to cultivate this relationship that's been offered to us in the Christ child at Christmas Eve. To borrow from our Advent series, we keep Christmas well. But all the Christmas trees are put away. The lights have been put out for the next 11 months. Vacation's over. School's starting back. All of our extracurriculars are kicking into gear again. The calendar is filling up. Not a lot of white space left there. It's January. We're busy. You know, these busy times create distractions at home. And they separate us from our table. Truth is, we have three kiddos. We've got one in martial arts, one in select soccer, two working parents. Evening times get filled up with practice and class, paper writing and meetings, catching up on work, dealing with the household duties, budgets, cleaning, laundry. And if we're not careful, it happens in our house. All those distractions will keep us from being together for a meal, sometimes for a whole week. You can go 7 days and realize that five people have not found time to sit for 30 minutes around a table. We've eaten in shifts. We've eaten on the go. We've lost our connection because we've been busy. But they're good excuses. It's not like we're just filling up our time with not good things. We're talking about our boys' extracurricular activities. These are things that are shaping them, molding them into being strong, responsible adults. We're talking about our jobs, our work, our callings that we take very seriously. We're talking about taking care of home. Of being sure that we have all of our ducks in a row so that our children have a good future. These are good excuses. And yet, are they worth missing the time? The relationship together. You know, the folks in our scripture, they had some good excuses too. I mean, the one, he makes regrets because he's bought a piece of land. He's got to go out and check on it. The other, he makes the excuse that he's just bought some new oxen. He needs to go and make sure that they're doing well. And the third says, dude, I just got married. You know, maybe he's got other parties to attend in celebration of this marriage. They all have excuses. Now, are they real excuses? Are they fluff excuses? We don't know. Did they hear through the grapevine that nobody was going to that party? Don't go. Nobody is going. It's dead. Nobody's doing that anymore. Nobody's eating at that table. It's empty. Don't go. Were these fluff excuses? Were they real excuses? I don't know, but they were excuses. They were distractions that kept these people from being at this table. I wonder if we, like them, and like what happens in my house with my family, will we also leave our chairs at God's table empty because we are distracted? Because we have excuses. Well, we fail to cultivate the relationship that comes to us in Christmas Eve, to continue being intentional about time together with our God, prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. Well, we let those things slide by because, well, after all, I have work to attend to, and we have soccer to go to, and we have to take care of things at home. I have friends who need me. I have other volunteer opportunities that call my attention away. Will we, like them, leave our chairs empty? Here's what happens when the owner finds out, when the host finds out that no one is coming. Continuing in verse 21. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, "Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And the slave said, "Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room." Then the master said to the slave, "Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled." So Jesus says to us, God is not going to stop filling seats. In this dinner parable, Jesus has given us a picture of the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? It means to sit at God's table. It means to have relationship with God, to cultivate relationship with God and with all of God's people who share the table with you. This is what it means, and God will not stop filling the seats. God sends the messengers out to bring in everyone to God's table. And we get the same invitation this morning, my friends. Why, then, does Jesus say in the parable that the host sends the slave out to gather the lame and the blind and the poor? Why those people? Well, Jesus wants the Pharisees whom he's talking to know that this is an invitation for everyone. That no one is left out. Even those whom they think cannot share a table with them do indeed get to share it. All are invited to come. You are invited this morning. I am invited this morning. The messenger for us this morning comes through the scripture, just as it came to those in the parable through the slave. It's an invitation, and God won't stop until kingdom come, heaven on earth, until the seats are filled. You know, people tell me, as I've been raising three kids, and especially when they were much younger than they are now, they would say this to me, and you've heard it, I'm sure. The days are long, but the years are short. And that's a true thing when you are in the thick of things with little babies. The days can feel long. But now, with a newly double-digited child in my house, I can say the years are absolutely short. How did we get here? Like that. You know, I don't want to miss it. That's what people are saying when they say that to new mothers, to new fathers. Don't miss it. Because you can't go back. I look at my 10-year-old and I look back at pictures or videos of when he was a baby or when he was 2, 5, and I think, oh, if I could go back for just 1 hour, knowing all I know now. But you can't. Because once you miss it, you miss it. When you miss your place at the table, when you miss the dinner, you miss it. So we don't want to miss it. And we try really hard to not get distracted at home. Because I know I only have 8 years left. And then he's out of the house. 8 precious years. That's all I've got. And I don't want to miss it. Friends, God has invited us to the table. Are we going to miss it? Here's what Jesus says in verse 24. He's talking to the Pharisees who have the Christ in their presence and they're missing it. Here's what he says. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. This is Jesus talking to them now. Now, we might read that and think, okay, so God's going to compel people to come in and fill the seats, and now I, invited, don't get to taste the dinner. Does that mean God's filling my seat? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I think what Jesus is saying is, if you miss it, if you fail to come and fill your seat, then you miss it. If you don't say yes to the invitation that came at Christmas, to the invitation of relationship with God, then you miss it. If you don't cultivate that relationship between Christmas and Easter and Christmas, then you miss it. Hey, friends, I got good news for you. You know that feeling you have on Christmas Eve when you raise the candle and you sing Silent Night? It's not just for Christmas Eve. That joy is yours all year long, day after day after day. If you cultivate the relationship with God, if you choose to take your place at the table, you can get that all year long. Don't miss it. I don't want to miss it.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.